seated. I saw a group of women yesterday on film that was laying palm branches in the road, and they were making more racket than all of you guys made here today. Keep that in mind for tomorrow morning. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The dinner today, Yahweh has set a table before us in the presence of our enemies. This is one of the best. Don't miss this buffalo. Now, this is not the fish buffalo. I hope to get some of that before the feast is out, though, the buffalo fish. But this is the four-legged lamb buffalo. And the cooks, they cooked this slowly after it was smoked, of course. They cooked it slowly overnight, all night long. Oh, man, what a blessing. Pinto beans and greens and rice. Beautiful. You know, coming in the house, to the house of Yahweh. To the newcomers. I know that, a lot of the times you've been to churches and everything, and it's the house of Yahweh is not like any other religion on the face of the earth. The other, praise Yahweh. the religions, they worship the gods, and of course they practice the things. They don't praise Yahweh. In fact, the Catholic Church tells them, be real quiet when you come in and don't make any rackets. You don't want to awake the demons. We don't allow the demons here, to begin with. And neither do we fear them. Even when we went to the Catholic Church, we didn't fear them. We went there for other reasons, though, not to worship. But this is a learning process that you will not find anywhere on the face of the earth except in the house of Yahweh. And brethren, you have the unique opportunity right now, and this is the last generation that this will be offered, of becoming a member of the kingdom of Yahweh forever. And that's working immediately with Yahweh and Yahshua. And the learning, this learning that you receive here, that you're receiving right now, save for you for this last part just before Yahshua comes, and we're already seeing signs of his coming at this time. There's one that I can't see it from here, but I bet you can. Can anyone see the donkey? Oh, it's back there somewhere. Okay, it's hidden from me, but anyway, that's one of the signs that I intend to explain before the feast. It probably won't be with you today, but before the feast. But these things have never been understood, and scholars have, as the commentators say, they've struggled for years and trying to understand these prophecies and who this person is and who that person is and when they're going to appear on the scene and what's their job. Some of them say these prophecies are problematic, and they name several prophecies that have been problematic that no one can agree upon. The coming of the Savior, all 12 tribes knew of what was prophesied in Genesis 49. And of course, they split off, they never really were a part of the house of Yahweh when they came out of Israel. And then when they finally made their public testimony to Samuel in 1 Samuel 8, when they made it public what they really believed, then at that time, they already had congregations throughout Israel worshiping gods and lords and of course, keeping Christmas, Halloween, Easter. These things were already being practiced, which tells you that they had already invented a false savior that was actually wasn't even told about until, you know, for the last days, until Genesis 49. So they knew this prophecy, and they knew it before, probably before Jacob ever told it to the 12 sons there, that probably told by Abel and written in Abel, because that was where everyone was going to for their answers. But when they split off from Yahweh, they had already invented false saviors. And he said, Yeshua said, all of these saviors that came before me, you know, they were false. And they're classified as thieves and robbers. But they had these congregations everywhere in Israel, but still there were those who knew they weren't the right ones because they weren't fulfilling the prophecies. Only Yeshua, Messiah, fulfilled those prophecies. Well, of course, the prophets today, they don't understand this either. The commentators readily admit they don't understand it, and that the scholars have struggled over these scriptures for years, and this is the first time in the history of mankind now that these things are being explained fully, and the first time anyone could ever understand it is now in these last days. That's a fact, a scriptural fact. But we have the opportunity right now to be a remnant of that kingdom, and there won't be any other when the doors are closed. That's it for the immediate kingdom of Yahweh, the family of Yahweh. That doesn't mean they won't be given eternal life and be used throughout all eternity in Yahweh's work in different places, that you will be using them as servants. But you will be the only ones in and out, the last ones to be chosen for that kingdom. And we will be first, as Yahshua said. The last will be first into it. And first with the jobs, too, the highest jobs, ranking right next to Yahweh and Yahshua. That is promised, and I've explained it. Praise Yahweh. Get the tapes. You won't find that information, but it's plainly shown in scriptures and shows where our position is with Yahweh and Yahshua. The disciples asked for it, and Yahshua shunned the question, but Yahshua knew the prophecies in Genesis 49, and that's where it first started. I haven't fully explained Genesis 49, as you might can tell. I condensed it, skipped over and highlighted it for you, and brought a lot of things about that prophecy, but there's a lot of things I didn't bring out that I do intend to bring some today throughout the feast, but I rather doubt if I could cover that subject in 10 years if that were the case. If I had to cover it in detail, I rather doubt that I would have time at the rate we're going now to cover it in the next 10 years, but enough that you'll be able to understand it. But this is the last generation, and Yahshua says it won't pass away until all these things are fulfilled, including the revelation, the revelation of Yahshua. Ah, boy, that's a great one there. The revelation that Yahweh gave to Yahshua, our high priest, who he's now showing his people in these last days about his coming, along with the signs from heaven. They got the sign, the banner wrong. That shows how easy it is to screw up, doesn't it, man? But signs in heaven, I think, is what the banner says. It should have said signs from heaven. a great deal of difference. But we're going to cross that word out and correct it like I do my Book of Yahweh. We're going to mark it and correct it so no one will get it, take it home with them in their memory like that. Now, you need to remember, speaking about remember, Yahweh said, and you probably didn't know this, but he said, mark it. Mark it. Well, that's what all Okies do that want to learn. Years ago, I remember when I was attending what I thought was a feast, and I knew that they had to be kept, and I was trying to find everyone else, the two witnesses, and I attended these feasts the first time in 1957. Most of you weren't even born at that time, but I was hunting and reading and practicing and getting ready for the work right now, which I didn't realize then that was what it was all about, but Yahweh was getting me ready. He started the day I was born getting me ready. In fact, before I was born, the scriptures were being read to me in my mother's womb. That's also revealed in the Holy Scriptures. So you can see he's worked with me in training me for you, to teach you these hidden things that the scholars have admitted they can't understand. And of course, Yahweh has already told them they couldn't, and he's told them why, but they don't even understand that. No wicked shall understand. So unless a person, the work of Yahweh, remember, is to believe in the one sent. That's what your high priest tells you. That's the work of Yahweh. And then the wicked won't believe that. The wicked are full of doubts. Their mind are full of doubts. That's a portion of wickedness in a person's mind. Those doubts, of course, comes from the great deceiver, the great accuser of the brethren. That's revealed in Revelation. The accuser of our brethren is cast down. That is, she has been found guilty and incapable of bringing the world to peace. She is cast down, thumbs down. That's where that word comes from. And of course, she is incapable of bringing peace to even to her congregations. Her congregations are the ones that's fighting all over the world, getting ready to go into nuclear war. While the house of Yahweh is practicing the peaceful solution, I get this because that's what Shiloh means, as we'll see today. This is some of the things that I didn't cover. Shiloh was to bring forth the man of peace, the one that would teach the peaceful solution, be a perfect example of Yahweh for us. Now, that's Shiloh. It comes from the word, if you might have caught that, shalom, which means peace. And, of course, that's part of the meaning of Shiloh. Some pronounce it Shiloh. Some of them pronounce tethering. Some of them pronounce it tethering. They get all screwed up trying to figure out whether it's being pronounced right, and they forget what the real message is. Don't let that occur to you. Some pronounce it potato, some of them pronounce it patata, but that doesn't make any difference. What makes the difference is you understand the message, not the pronouncing. And and if you know anything about English, you know I pronounced that wrong also. The word is pronounce, not pronounce, but no one pronounces it pronounce. And probably they'd think you're a nut if you pronounce it pronounce. So that's how words get changed. But get you an Okie dictionary. You know, they do make them. They do make Okie dictionaries. You saw what the world is coming to. Montreal Religious School to pay record $18 million for sex abuse victims. Now, U.S. Catholic bishop charged an alleged prone cover-up. This was one of their highest, by the way, next to the Pope. Americans moved dramatically towards acceptance of homosexuality. Well, of course, homosexuality is what the before they were Catholics, they were called Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes. They practiced sodomy. Before they were Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes, they were called priests and prophets of Jerusalem and Israel. They weren't, now that distinguishes them from the priests and prophets of Yahweh. Priests and prophets of Jerusalem and Israel, they did not worship Yahweh. They don't today. But it's this group of men that Jeremiah said they were Sodomites. And Jerusalem and Israel had become like Sodom and Gomorrah to Yahweh. So if you just put the two and two together here, you can see that Yahweh is telling you these people have always practiced this. And they're trying to get all America to accept it. Don't tell is don't tell anymore. Tell it. Tell it, reveal it, talk about it. See how many young people you can coax into it. That's the message that's going out from the Catholic Church. Whatever is accepted between two adults, well, they're going to change that, or they are changing it now to children. Whatever the children want to accept, they will accept and praise it. We were in Isaiah 49, but I want you to turn to Luke first and get this in your mind here, Yeshua's statement here, because Luke gives something that the other three apostles didn't give. And in Luke 21, what I was going to say earlier about marking, you know, it would be a great thing. I've done this all my life, and it's to mark your book of Yahweh. Make notes. That's what Yahweh tells you to do. I may read that this morning, but anyway, He tells you to do this, and yet this way you could find it. Before the book of Yahweh was printed, I had for years made my own chain reference, which, you know, you couldn't find such a thing when I was born. They were just coming out with Bible helps. Crudence Concordance, I think, was the first one on the scene, and Smith's Bible Dictionary. I praised those two books when I found them. And then I found the Hertel Blue Ribbon Bible that had those two books in it, and I loved it so much I started selling it. Sold it for years, myself and Jacob, my brother, sold it for years because it had these great Bible helps, and it really advanced the studies of the Holy Scriptures, and you could go back and find scriptures. But before that, I made my own chain reference, and I'd start with one single scripture. But I'd put a scripture, the next scripture I wanted to go to, I'd write it beside that one. And I would underline certain points in each scripture so that I would want to place emphasis on those, either on a word or a line or a phrase or something. And that's what the scripture tells you to do. And if you'll start doing that, it'll help you in your studies, but it'll also help you when a preacher comes around you, which this will probably increase in the next few months, because they're really building up pressure to start pushing to get rid of everything except the Catholics. If you notice, there's no other religion. If you just notice this, there's no other religion in the United Nations, no other religion allowed in the United Nations except the Catholics. In any nation who might want to be a member, there's a Catholic priest there standing there saying, I don't think this could be considered because of what they teach, the religion they teach. Well, of course, anyway, keep that in mind. Go back, go to chapter 21 of Luke and look at verse 11. He says, well, back in 8, he said, then he said, Yeshua said to them, be on guard that no one deceive you. Remember, he's speaking to his disciples right here, but he's also speaking to us today because he said in Matthew that in the last days there would be signs and wonders, fake signs and wonders, false signs and wonders that would deceive, if at all possible, they'd deceive the very elect. So it means they're striving to deceive the very elect. Not by chance, he's not placing that by chance, but if possible, they're going to do this. They're striving to do this very thing. He says, many will come against my authority, now this is somebody coming in the house, against the authority of Yeshua. Look at verse 9. He said, and when you will hear of wars and rebellions, or the teaching of rebellion, like homosexuality, it's being accepted. It's not being accepted by Yahweh's people, that's for sure. Praise Yahweh. But it is by the world. This is just one of the many sins. The Catholic Church passes its own laws. Remember, Daniel said he was amazed at the amount of laws that this beastly system was passing. The little horn, which means the worthless horn, that's referring to the Pope. Worthless concerning salvation. Absolutely worthless. But all of her followers are worthless too. They're little horns that follow her. And of course, they're worthless concerning salvation. Or even economy. Right. Their economy is caving in on them, and they know it. The job market right now, if you noticed the news that the great Kohan Safanya brought out, the videos he played, these are coming straight from the news media broadcasting, and of course, about, I'd say, 90% of the wealth is owned by about 10% of the people today, maybe 14%, and the other large percentage of the people are saying, we want some of that wealth, and of course, they're determined not to let any of it go. The Catholic Church is hoarding wealth, they could never use up even if they didn't make another dime. They have paintings that we saw when we visited that horrible place that would bring more than $18 million. That's a drop in the bucket, drop in the ocean, actually, compared to their wealth that they own all over the world. And, of course, they're the leaders of the nations or leaders of the kings of the earth. They're the leader of the United Nations. If you can get that in your mind, they are the leader, the Vatican, the city that sits on seven hills, Revelation 17. Well, he said, you're going to hear now of wars and, of course, rebellions. Do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end is not right away. Then verse 10, and he said unto them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. We see that at this time, big time. Great earthquakes, we see that. We see famine starting. It was just announced last week. And on the farm report, the price of beef has escalated. If you didn't know that, if you didn't notice that in the grocery store, you will the next time you're there, if you're going there for that purpose. Even if you might not, you might take a look. They said the price of beef has escalated, and this is a very small portion to what you can expect now for the coming years, they said. The coming years. And they named several things other than beef that is going up, like corn and rice and soybean. They didn't name pinto beans. I can tell you as a witness, and I did witness it as a child, you can live on pinto beans and cornbread. And if we can get some classes started here on home economics and conservation, praise Yahweh. Any teachers of it here? Anyone? Hold up your hand if you're a classified teacher of home economics. Anyone? None over here either? Man. Well, we need a teacher. You know, they've taken that out of the schools. They said, here, you know, you're wanting the people to spend and you're teaching them in the school this class that teaches them to conserve. Are you a bunch of idiots or something? Cut that out. Haven't you ever studied about the school of higher learning that promotes buying? Anyway, you may have to start conserving. And I'm kind of in honor of doing it now and teaching the children and teaching yourselves how to shut the light switch off. You know, that's a big one there. Almost nobody ever learns that one. How to turn the water off once you turn it on. You know, yeah, we've become a nation of overeaters and overwasters, and of course it's breaking America, but on the one hand they're saying go ahead and be wasteful. On the other hand, they're saying we can't afford to be wasteful any longer. But they're afraid to tell you that because you might stop spending. They don't know which way to hop here. They're afraid they're going to jump out of the frying pan and into the fire, which they did years ago already. But you're going to suffer famine, he says. And now we can see it, as Yeshua said, when you see these things. Well, we're seeing it right now, and on the futures market, if you pay any attention to the futures market, what they're buying right now on the futures market, they're paying almost double what they paid last year. And they're paid double last year what they did the year before. Now, they've got to raise the prices in order to get their money back. But they got a reason for this. There's a shortage now, a big shortage on foods and on the animals that people eat, like beef. There's a big shortage, and if they wanted to go into the market at big time, now they've screwed up the atmosphere to where there's a huge drought taking place and spreading. So this is going to make it even worse. There's no way out. They have screwed their world up, and they don't have sense enough to know how to turn it around yet. We're the only ones on the face of the earth that has the answers to their problems. 2 billion people, it's shown. It's shown in the scriptures. 2 billion people, somewhere around that number, plus including the quartet, will finally turn to the house of Yahweh. Now, many of these were pushing the peaceful solution secretly. They're still pushing it secretly. But they started out pushing it big time because they said, this is what we need. This is the only thing that will work. Now, this was coming, being done, even as high as Washington. And they were pushing it big time. And like Herbert W. Armstrong, when he came out and said, hey, the name is Yahweh. We need to start using that name. His tithe dropped off by 50%. Well, of course, this is what's taking place now when a politician starts using this and trying to push it, his popularity drops quickly. So he drops the ball. He won't carry it anymore. We're the only ones on the face of the earth that have guts enough right now to carry this ball to the end. Well, we have the famine. That's being seen now, and they can carry that ball. We have the pestilence, and the doctors say this is a really a scary thing, as I just read you the last broadcast, that this is a scary thing, very scary, that mankind could come to his end with sugar diabetes alone. It could kill every person on the face of the earth. And they're finally now realizing this. Back in the 50s, when I worked at the State Board of Health Laboratories as a young man, we thought we had gonorrhea and syphilis cured. We didn't. We were a bunch of fools. The whole laboratory was full of fools. We knew that syphilis would hide even if you'd use nothing. You could use baking powder or whatever, and it would disappear. And you'd think it was gone. Yeah, gone to the nearest organ it wanted to set up home in. And then 15 to 20, 50 years later, person go blind, their heart would stop, their lungs would stop. Well, now they see that gonorrhea and syphilis and all these things, even including tuberculosis, they have nothing to fight it with. And it's coming back stronger than ever now. So they know these things, and they're broadcasting it, and we can see it. We've read your articles about it. And then he says, and there will be fearful sights, and this next one is for us, and great signs from heaven. Great signs from heaven. Now with that, we've got to go back to Genesis 49, because Yeshua was speaking of the last days and the signs from heaven. Of course, you've got to know, you've got to know what to look for, of course. And then he can show you, it wouldn't have meant nothing, this donkey that you see the banner of, that y'all can see the banner of and I can't. This would have meant nothing if we hadn't have known of these scriptures. But in Genesis 49 now, where the very first verse, he said, the last two words, last days. This is a prophecy that Jacob, the great prophet of Yahweh, gave his sons, but it was written for us today to show us what would take place in the last days. Well, they come to verse 10 here, and the scepter, this is a scepter of righteousness that would be accepted, and they don't even understand that. They think, well, you know, he's going to be the giver of a new law and do away with all of his father's laws. And this is what they teach, the stupidity that they come up with, because they won't believe all that the prophets have spoken. They want to be deceived. They don't want to believe. That's another song, isn't it? They don't want to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Well, the scepter was a scepter of righteousness, and it was never totally accepted until one came and proved that he had rightful ownership. Now, put that way, it has a little bit different meaning, right? It wasn't accepted. Total righteousness was never accepted until that one came and lived it. And, of course, everyone knows this is more or less an epithet of Yeshua, and they say Jesus. Of course, they take out the Savior's name, so no one will know who it's talking about. But But he says in verse 10, the scepter will not depart from Yada, and nor a ruling staff, and lawgiver, which it didn't. But it certainly has at this time. The prophet says, I'm going to take everything away from you. You hypocrites, you turned away from my laws, and I'm going to take everything from you. We'll get to that hopefully before the feast is out. But from between his feet, that has to do with coming before the feet of the teacher and learning Yahweh's way. The from between his feet until now, and if you remember the last two words of verse 1, you'll know what that until means. See, the world stops when Yahshua was born. And they said, oh, this is it. Christmas, that will bring us salvation. That's December the 25th. Well, where did that date come from? From a god they brought out of Egypt with them. The sun god, Baal. December the 25th is his birthday. See, they had these saviors going long before this was given right here. That was taught in Egypt. Well, where did they get it? They got it from the scriptures that Abel wrote that was passed on mouth to mouth. Now, if you can get this scenario in your mind, when they were brought to Egypt and they were more or less housed in the wilderness that surrounded the place where Yahshua was brought up. Yes, that's where they were housed. That's where they stayed for 40 years, called a wilderness. Very sparse. It wasn't worth anything. It's like Abilene. And, of course, Abilene, there was no reason to build a city here in Abilene other than the fact that the house of Yahweh was prophesied to be here in the last days. No other reason. They admit that. They can't find a reason. They couldn't find a reason to put a city where Galilee was. Oh, Shiloh. Well, there wasn't necessarily a city there, but there was a house of Yahweh there. A house of peace. And that's where you get this word, Shiloh. Okay, but here now, he says, until the last day. It didn't end. This wasn't the ending of it. This wasn't the end of this prophecy when Yahshua came, when he was born. He had to prove that he qualified for a job that couldn't be done until the last two words of verse 1. See that? Until Yahshua couldn't do his job when he was born. The birthday had nothing to do with it. That's what they worship, or they claimed to worship that. They didn't know that a false prophet had given December the 25th as the Savior's birth. Now that Savior to them was a rabbi that died long before this in Egypt. One of the conquerors that conquered with the sword. The word Lord, if you don't know it, it comes from the word rabbi. That's where you get the word Lord. And when a rabbi was famous and he died, they would make a god out of him. They'd deify him and start worshiping him. And, of course, this practice is still the same today. That's what Halloween is all about. When a pope dies today, do we make him a saint that we can pray to or not? Oh, yeah, come on, let's get to making him a saint. Hurry, hurry, hurry. And they keep postponing it. You don't make a saint out of a dead person. You've got to train a live person to make a saint. Well, that's what the teachings that Yahshua brought forth is all about. Training live people to be like him. He is our high priest and king, but he is also our teacher, our example. He's an example of Yahweh himself, the splitting image, the perfect likeness of Yahweh himself. That's the reason he worked on the Sabbath day, serving others on the feast days of say. Well, here now, until. He comes to whom tribute? Tribute? Well, they think that he deserved to get the tithe and the offerings. Well, it seems like everything they say, every teaching they have, is screwed up. No, he wasn't. Had nothing to do with money. The tribute. This word here means something given or contributed voluntarily as due or deserved, a gift or service, or a gift of service, as you're told to do each Sabbath, as Yahweh did, blessing Yahweh's people. What do you want me to do today? Today's the Sabbath day. I want you to serve people. And whatever, even if you're in a wheelchair, we'll find a job for you. We've got service for you where you can fulfill this. Okay? A gift of service showing respect. That's what Yahshua did. Remember, he wrapped a towel around himself and started washing feet. What if I told you that this man, he needs his feet washed before he comes into the sanctuary?
I ain't going to wash his feet.
Well, you wouldn't be like Yahshua. Yahshua would have washed his feet and did. Showing respect. Respect. People have actually gotten angry because I show respect and praise to Yahweh's people. Brethren, I'm showing it to Yahweh when I show it to you. If you do this to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And that was Yahshua's word. Gratitude, showing gratitude, or affection, which he did big time. Something as material evidence or a formal attestation that indicates the worth, value, or effectiveness of one in question. Yahshua proved he was righteousness. That's where the tribute belongs, to him who proved his righteousness. That's the tribute. It's not money. It's not taxes. They make out like, you know, that it is. That's one paying taxes, and the one receiving the taxes, he deserves the tribute. Not at all. This is speaking of righteousness, righteous behavior, servitude, as Yahshua taught perfectly, and he performed it perfectly. Tribute belongs to the one he comes to whom tribute actually belongs. The scepter of righteousness. This scepter, it's not a rod to beat people with. It's the ability to teach people the character of Yahweh, the laws of Yahweh, the peaceful solution, character education. That's taking place now, the training. And those who learn this job, then tribute will belong to you as well. Because you'll be chosen by Yahweh, and this is the last calling for this position. You'll be chosen as part of this remnant to be a part of this great kingdom that will teach. And all the universe will know that tribute belongs, that tribute belongs to you. Got that? Praise Yahweh. Now notice what comes next here. And the obedience of the nations is his. Do you see the United Nations following Yahshua today? No, they're following that city that sits on seven hills. Now, they should be following Yahshua, but they're not. But this prophecy here is not just about Yahshua. It's about some donkeys. Some donkeys that carry the load willingly, that willingly do the work. It's got to be willing. It's got to be volunteer. This tribute has got to be volunteer, as I just read you. Voluntarily done. As Yahshua wrapped himself with a towel and began to wash the disciples' feet voluntarily. Well, here now, he also included here, obedience of the nation is his. Well, how does he bring that about now? Is everybody listening? You got it now? How does he bring this about now? Listen to me. Give me your attention now. Read that again, the last part of verse 10. Now, the one who tribute belongs also is going to receive obedience of the nations. Obedience of the nations, that is what is left. This is speaking of the last days, remember? So what is left of the nations are going to be obedient to Yahweh. If you remember Revelation 7, a huge number that no one could number that came out of tribulation. And what were they doing? They were keeping the feast at Shiloh. Well, where is Shiloh? The house of Yahweh, of course. Now, tithering or tethering, next here, teethering or tethering or twiddling, whatever you want to call it, but it means binding. Binding. Then, and that word unity means the same thing. Unity, you're bound. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Well, you won't walk with Yahweh long unless you're agreed, as Moshe showed in chapter 3. And when he also showed in the same chapter that there is no work unless it was prophesied by the prophets. And that's the reason the Savior said, you're a fool if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken. That's Luke 24 and verse 25. But here he shows the obedience of the nations, and how does this come about? And when? The last days, of course, the obedience of the nation. So Yahshua qualified to receive the scepter of righteousness, to where he could actually be accepted by the universe, by all the universe. They know that he qualified. They know he's perfectly capable and will always live by and teach and judge by the laws of Yahweh. Now, the ones that are chosen to go with him here, this remnant, which is you, if you qualify for the scepter of righteousness, then you will be accepted too by the universe, the total universe. And Yahweh says in Deuteronomy 30, remember, I call heaven and earth to witness what I'm doing to this crowd of people here. Heaven and earth. So Yahshua was the first one to qualify. They cast doubt on that qualification by saying, well, we really don't know whether this man came and died or not, you know. I know it's in the Bible, but there's no other records. They're lying like dogs, you know. What that man did changed the entire world at that date. Look at it for yourself. It started in B.C., and notice what changed on his death. Brethren, the entire world changed on that date. And they say they have nothing? If they will just read their scriptures and notice what was to take place and what took place that was prophesied later, when the Pharisees moved all their stuff to Rome. Now, that's a matter of history. Look up the word Titus if you don't believe what I'm saying. He took all the artifacts out of the temple, moved them to Rome. They burnt the temple. That's where Yada no longer was the lawgiver. Why is Yada not a lawgiver today? She was up until that time. She disappeared. Everything was taken from her. They took their religion to Rome, to the seven hills of Rome, where they reign today over the kings of the earth. with the armies standing on her part. Well, the way Yeshua brings the obedience to him is, remember the word? I told you it meant hacking. Hacking. Well, we're hacking away at this mountain, this big mountain in front of us. Praise Yahweh. But tethering your donkey to the vine. This is the way it's done. The obedience of the nations is brought about by you hacking away with words, with teaching. That's what we're doing. I don't know if the millions of people, brethren, that we have reached in the last, I know it passed 100 million a long time ago that we have contact of. And since the Feast of Passover, the millions of people we've reached. And this message is being preached by them, you know, in bits and pieces, like it was with the Samaritan woman that where Yeshua started the work with that Samaritan woman. And she started telling, hey, the Savior's here. I've talked to him. He told me all these things. Well, it's spreading. And although Hitler and Mussolini tried to kill all these people and tried to prevent this last day's work, and they tried to wipe out all of what they called the American Indians, we're still here. We're still here. Yahweh brought his witness through, started the house of Yahweh in a town that never should have been built in the first place. In fact, it was dying when I came here. 1967, if you check the records, there was not just a few empty houses. There was rows and rows and rows of empty houses. I bought a house that said $250 down. This was the fee. And I said, I talked to the realtor a little bit, and she said, if you're wondering about the $250, I'll pay it for you. I said, okay. So I started buying one after another. And Yahweh started renting them for me. And before long, we had enough money to build this building and buy this land you're on right now. I brought prosperity with me when I came to Abilene. And Abilene has prospered ever since. But now its wealth, since they weren't thankful, it's going to be taken away from them and is being taken away from them. Well, back to this now. Thithering your donkeys, there's a way that the obedience of the nations is going to come about. The work of Yeshua, it didn't end with his birth. It actually began when he ascended to the right hand of Yahweh and took the position as high priest over the house of Yahweh. What house of Yahweh? It's gone. It's destroyed. But in the last days, I will establish my house. Last days, the very last two words in verse 1 of Genesis 49. In the last days, I will establish my house. It will bring obedience to the nations. The Gentiles, Yahweh said, the heathen will trust in his words. Brethren, you would be flabbergasted if you could see all the people out there and the letters that we get daily now, weekly, saying to us, you know, this is what we've been hunting. We knew this was coming. We read our scriptures. Well, it's taking place all over the world. At the same time, the beastly system is falling. It's dwindling away, and they don't like it. And Daniel says this character is going to make one big last rush to try to stop this from taking place. But he says another king is going to come, and I could name that king, but I won't right now. But some of you know that king is going to come against him, and he's going to tuck tail and run. Did you ever see a dog tuck his tail? Well, that saying came from Oklahoma, tuck tail and run. Okay, thithering your donkeys to the vine is how this comes about. Your donkey, thithering your donkey to the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches, Yeshua said. That set the stage of who is the vine. Thithering your donkeys to the vine. Now we find the donkeys here, which was 12, Isaiah shows. He shows the disciples. Isaiah was prophesied to write about Yeshua's disciples. We'll get to that a little later in the sermon. But notice it's the donkey's colt here that's coming up somewhere that Yahweh said, I knew you, Israel, when you were born. I loved you when you were born. He actually says that. He says, I named you from your mother's womb. He says that of the last witness. All of these things are in prophecy. There's no way you could doubt who the last witness, who the last day seventh Moloch is of Yahweh. Well, tithers his donkeys to himself, and then they became the foundation, the last foundation, the last part of the foundation. The prophets were the first part of the foundation. The apostles was the last part of the foundation, with Yahshua now as the chief cornerstone who sits at the right hand of Yahweh. You got that picture now? Okay. Now he takes over the work of Yahweh, and now the last thing he does, he tithers his donkey's colt to the choicest branch, the branch. Well, who is the branch? Scholars have struggled for thousands of years to find out who this man was. He's named by Yahweh. He's carrying a last day's work, the last day's work. He's here working today. Praise Yahweh. And the commentators, they say these are problematic scriptures. Another one is in Yekiska 21. You really need to read that whole chapter before I speak again. Yekiska 21, the whole chapter. And then that way I won't have to cover everything in that chapter to get to this last bit of information that I want to bring you this feast. Now, he's binding, not by rope. There's no rope on this donkey's colt. There's no rope on me. It's all voluntary. And I praise Yahweh for choosing each and every one of you. You have the opportunity, brethren, to become a part of this work forever that sits at the left side of Yahweh. If you don't know that scripture, I hope to bring it this as part of this, but if I don't get to it, it's in the other sermons. The prophecy actually shows this, and Yahshua knew it, and he's now sitting as high priest over this work and bringing about 2 billion people are being worked with right now on earth that is actually going to come out of great tribulations. They're going to have these things in their hands. They're going to be rejoicing at the feast of Yahweh at Shiloh. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you.